Pastor Steve, and good morning, everybody. Well, it is a different day here. So glad the presence of God is tangible here. And all of you who are here live, you know what I'm talking about. And for those of you worshiping by live stream, I hope there's a witness at your house, too, that God is nearby. Well, it's a challenging time for us. There is a lot of suffering going on in this world. And the Bible speaks to suffering. There are some people who would deny there is such a thing as suffering. But in this world, we will find it from time to time. There's one verse of Scripture that puts suffering in a context that brings good news to all of us who are believers, and it's in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Paul writes and says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal in us." We're talking about two things: present suffering and coming glory. I want to talk for just a few minutes about the sufferings of this present time. We live in a real world, and right here in this auditorium, I'm looking around and I see people who are suffering. There are women in our church family that spent decades with the love of their life, and they're suffering the loss of a husband who's no longer here. There are men in the church who spent decades with the love of their life, and their wife now has predeceased them. The men are suffering the loss of someone very real. There are people in this church, I'm looking at you right now, I could call your names, who again tomorrow, will go to the hospital for treatment, fighting for their life. They're right here among us in our church family. There are men and women in our church family whose hearts are breaking because of a child that perhaps is in jail or is a runaway, in trouble of some kind. There is suffering in this world in this present time. What is this present time? I believe this present time is the last day. Paul writes to his son in the Lord Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and describes this present time. He says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people," Paul says, "turn away." That describes this present time, the last days, where suffering is so obvious and rampant. The New Living Translation says, "There will be depraved minds and counterfeit faith." The Message Translation says it real good: Don't be naive. There are difficult times ahead. As the end approaches, people are going to be self-absorbed, money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, slanderers, savage, cynical, treacherous, ruthless, addicted to lust, and allergic to God. These are the signs of the last days. And there are sufferings in this present time. In the days in which we live, there is peril, danger, persecution for some, trouble for everybody at some point, and sufferings in this present time. I want to bust a myth. You may have heard it said, if you have troubles, it's because you don't have enough faith. That is not the truth. The Bible says trouble, persecution, sorrow, affliction seeks out the righteous just like the ungodly. And let's hear what Paul would have to say to address the myth that if you're having trouble or suffering going on in your life, it's because you don't have enough faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 22, let's hear how he would address it. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I've gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothes to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. That does not sound to me like a man who will deny there's suffering in this world. And he's a man of great faith, one that we should model our lives after. Troubles come on a regular basis to people in the world who do not know God. And troubles come on a regular basis to all of us who do know God. It's the sufferings of this present time. The brother of Jesus, the first pastor of the church at Jerusalem, his name was James, and in his book, chapter 1 and verse 2, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He did not say, count it all joy if. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It's not if, it's when. Now, have you ever had a burden thrust upon you that made you think, why has this happened to me? Suddenly your life changed forever with a phone call, with news you were not expecting. Or a doctor's visit and a report from a test or an x-ray or a scan that did not bring good news, but immediately began a season of suffering. We're told to bear one another's burdens. We should be sensitive to one another when they're going through trouble. We shouldn't be haughty and lifted up thinking, well, if they had their act together, if they had more faith than they do, and all of that's good. We need our act together, and we need faith. But the Spirit of God is sensitive. And especially, He's a comforter. And when you're suffering in this present time, there is no comforter like the Spirit of God Himself that can move in. He's called to walk along beside us every step of our journey, even during the sufferings of this present time. When Jesus began washing the disciples' feet, He made an interesting statement to Peter. I've never seen this before until this past week. He began washing the disciples' feet, and they were so uncomfortable with that. They knew who He was. They knew He was the Son of God, the miracle worker. They had been eyewitnesses to everything He said and everything He did. And now, for Him to take on the form of a servant and wash their feet, Peter couldn't accept it and said, "Lord, are You washing my feet?" And in John chapter 13 and verse 7, Jesus said something very interesting. Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." God is up to so much right now, even in the sufferings of this present time. That statement could be said about all of us. God could say to you right now, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." The sufferings of this present time are real, but they are temporary. Even now, in the middle of the sufferings of this present time, God is working on a sequel. Let's look at that verse again, Romans 8, verse 18. It says two things. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So act one is where we are now, the sufferings of this present time. But the sequel God is working on right now in Act 2 is going to be the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's about present suffering, and we can't deny it, shouldn't deny it, no need to deny it. It's a real world, and there's real suffering. Just think of the 13 families who are mourning today the loss of their 20-year-old son or daughter who was killed in Afghanistan. We're hearing reports of people in the underground church in that nation. A pastor had been beheaded, a report gets back to us. There is evil in the world and there is suffering, but this is only Act 1, and our present suffering is temporary. The glory which is going to be revealed in us will be eternal. God is up to a whole lot more right now than we can see. We're still in Act 1 where there is suffering to deal with. But immediately the good news comes. There is a sequel to the suffering, and God says it's nothing to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. One translation says, "No comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times." And all of us are dealing with it. Our hearts are heavy. We're a family here. And when one of us hurt, all of us hurt. When one of us celebrates, we all join in that celebration. We're a family of faith. And so when we think about the temporary sufferings in this present time, and they're real this morning. Let's remember that immediately following that, the promise of God is glory will be revealed in us. And a good verse of Scripture to remember in times like this is Romans 8:28. It says, all things work together for good. Can we trust God that much? Well, Lord, this call I just got, I don't see how any good can come out of this. Oh, Lord, the news I just received from so-and-so, oh, and the report that's coming in from wherever and from whoever, oh, Lord, I don't see how any good can come out of this. Oh, Lord, I've just lost a year of my life. I don't see any good that can come out. Can we trust God to keep His word? When He says all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose, can we believe Him that He really means all things? There's a lot going on that in and of itself, just a still shot, just a snapshot from one moment in time, I can't see any good in it. But God can take that one moment in time and work it together with everything else. And before it's over, we can see how it has brought good things. He sees from an eternal perspective. Ours is just so temporary. It's also good to know that when you're going through the sufferings of this present time, you are not only human. The world doesn't know any better. They think that they're only human. And in the world, that's true. But in the kingdom of God, those of us who've been born again by the Spirit of God, we are an eternal spirit. We are not just human, but we are sons and daughters of God with an eternal spirit. We are one spirit with God. My, my, that causes a shout of victory right there in the face of the sufferings of this present time. We know what it is during times of suffering to carry heavy burdens and feel the weight of the burden pushing us down and pressing us down. But listen to me, church. Those who are dealing with the suffering in this present time, you can't allow the sufferings of this present time to reduce us to nothing more than a beast of burden. A beast of burden. That describes an animal that is used to carry heavy loads. It could be a horse, or it could be an ox, or it could be a camel, or a donkey, or any other animal. But the picture is an animal, a beast, that's laden down with such a load that he's forced to carry step after step after step. Oh no, we should not be reduced to that. We have help in carrying the load. We don't do it by ourselves. God has promised us he would never leave us and never forsake us. The people in the world don't know what name to call on, but we do. He's a very present help in your time of suffering. A very present help when trouble comes to your house. Thank God we have Him. I don't know how people in the world survive going through sufferings when they have no hope, no name, nobody to turn to that can offer them any real solutions. That's not the case with us. We're children of God. We are joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. Everything God the Father has belongs to us. And if you're going through the sufferings right now in this present time, you just hold on. You stay in faith because Act 2 is about to begin. It already has for some of us. Some among us are already stepped into the glory which shall be revealed. We have to get through the sufferings of this present time in order to realize the glory of God that he promises shall be revealed in us. Now, where do we turn for help? Where do you go when you need relief and you need rest for your spirit and your soul and your body and you need your strength renewed? Jesus did a lot of teaching. And not all of it, in fact, very little of it, was inside the temple. Most of it was outdoors where thousands would press through the crowd to get close enough to hear what he said. And one day he was teaching. And at the end of his message, he gave a most unusual altar call. Usually when we think of an altar call, our thoughts go to the end of a service, the end of a sermon, when a pastor or an evangelist would invite those in attendance to come forward and confess Jesus to be their Lord. Billy Graham made that altar call famous. I think 2 million people walked the aisles of his outdoor crusade. Gave their life to Jesus. That's the most popular altar call. Come and accept Christ. But on this particular occasion, after Jesus had finished teaching, he gave quite a different altar call. Here's the altar call he gave. It's in Matthew 11, and I give this altar call to you today. Matthew 11, verse 28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." What an invitation. Just imagine it. Does that ring your bell? Does that address your life right now in the sufferings of this present time? To hear Jesus say, if you're weary of carrying heavy burdens, the altar call is for you. Come to me. And he promises he will give us rest. And then in verse 30, he said, for my yoke is easy to bear. And the burden I give you is light. Now, we don't understand a yoke. We're not an agricultural community for the most part, but in the day which this was written, and even still today, farmers know what a yoke is. A yoke is a harness. It could be made of wood or leather and straps, and it would bind two animals together. If it were oxen, you would refer to the two harnessed together as a yoke of oxen. And when Jesus uses this illustration at his altar call, saying, if you're tired of carrying a heavy burden, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy to bear. And the burden or the weight or the load I will give for you to carry is a light one. What he's really saying is the harness. Imagine Jesus saying this to you right now. Even in the middle of the sufferings of this present time, whatever load you're carrying, and him saying to you, the harness that keeps us bound together, you and Jesus, is easy to wear. It's an easy fit for all of us. And the load that he gives us to carry when we're bound and harnessed and yoked together with him is a light load, not a heavy one. The sufferings of this present time are temporary. But the glory which shall be revealed in us will be eternal. Would you stand?